I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo,
yo. Take a scalpel.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
To the vertebrae.
Yo, yo.
I need some suction.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
In the carotid.
Yo, yo.
I'll bring the crash car.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
And do the kung fu.
Yo, yo.
With the shot pack.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
Dr. Steve!
Yo,
from... from the exploding meth lab next to your grandma's trailer, capital of the world, it's Weird Medicine. First and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio, now as a podcast and on Ustream. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, double vasectomy Todd.
Hey, everybody.
And his lovely wife, Ashley.
Hi.
Who is also tweeting at DuckDuckDouche, spelled just like it sounds. So check her out. We're going to be live here for about, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes. We'll see.
Yeah, just roll with it.
It's a show for people who've never listened to a medical show on the radio or on the internet. And if you've got a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, or if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 423-343-8884. That's 423-DIE-TOOTIE. That's it. Visit our website at weirdmedicine.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. I can mention on the podcast.
Go for it.
You can buy all kinds of stupid weird medicine crap at cafepress.org. If you just go to our website, it's right there. And what's cool is we have this brand new shot glass, and I love this thing.
It is really sweet.
And I bought seven of them because I'm going to give some away. And I don't know if we're going to... I just got to figure out some vehicle to do it. I don't know if we're going to do it tonight or what. But we'll figure out some way to give some of these shot glasses away.
First person to call and ask for one.
No, shit, don't do it. No, he's wrong. Don't do that. Do try to give us a call, though. I'm trying to figure out if our Skype is working. And we're still pretty new at this. I'm putting these things up as podcasts, but they're not going to be... very professional for advertisers to listen to. So at some point, I'm going to strip them all down when we finally figure this out, how to make it work.
Unlike our regular shows.
Absolutely.
Which are consummately professional.
Very good point. We were talking show that's going to be on this Saturday. We're going to talk about the new influenza virus vaccine, which is going to be really cool. Might be the end to influenza once and for all. And if you're a fan of this show, you know that Barry the Blade, who was one of the friends of our show from the very beginning when we got on XM on a weekly basis, and he started the Trucker Duty thread. He died from H1N1, and we hate influenza. Influenza can kiss our ass. And I think that that's going to be a pretty interesting topic. We also have a guy who is shooting turds out of his ass shaped like pencils. And what else did we have on that show?
Well, our lovely friend Shannon from South Florida called in about her disgusting vagina.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She had yeast infection, right?
Yep.
So we'll be talking about
that. She's looking to give it away, fellas.
All right. Well, I don't know if our Skype is working. I think I'm logged in, and I think I'm logged into the right place. So
there are people in the chat room.
There are people in the chat room. Okay, well, if you have a medical question, give us a call at 423-343-DIE-TOOTIE. And if you don't want to, it's okay. If you're embarrassed, don't be. But it is a little bit easier to call the voicemail than it is calling live. And it's easier for us to. You know, it was weird when we started... this show, I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was. I'm never nervous doing the regular show.
No,
but
that's a lot of beer.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. Don't listen to us. We are not your medical providers. And not only that, we just recorded a Weird Medicine show and we drank through the whole thing. So now we're doing this afterward, so it's even worse. So just don't pay attention to anything we happen to say. But it's for entertainment purposes only. But if you have a question, feel free to call us. All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. You know, I'm just curious. I've been on methadone maintenance for about 9 years now. It actually has worked very well for me. I use it strictly as a maintenance medication. I take what they prescribe me. I don't do any other drugs recreationally. I mean, even that's not considered recreationally. But I don't even drink. But I would like your opinions on what are the long-term effects of this. How long can I continue to use this safely as a maintenance medication? Because when I started, Suboxone wasn't even available. I mean, that's not what they were doing for opiate replacement therapy. All they had when I started was the Lyam, which was taken away, probably because it was too dangerous, and then, or they figured out how to abuse it, and methadone. So I did methadone. And it worked very well for me. I have a very good job, a great family, a great home. I just want your opinion on the long-term effects and what I should do. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Pretty long question. I wanted to play the whole thing just so that we could get sort of a feeling of where his head is at. Guy's been on methadone maintenance, was using some narcotic before that, and what they'll do with methadone, and the reason the federal government uses methadone is it's dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can buy 100 tablets of methadone for like $20. And those are the big old 40s. So you don't sell them anymore, thanks to Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
You know, you can get a large amount of methadone for a very cheap price. And it is a narcotic. It does not block other narcotics. That's a myth. It has some interesting properties that are make it a better narcotic than say, OxyContin or morphine. In that it works against pain caused by damaged nerves, which morphine and oxycodone don't really well.
Hmm.
So methadone has some pretty interesting properties. And on top of that, I'm just going to throw this out there if there are any doctors listening, that if you have a non-small cell lung cancer and you secrete very low amounts of a chemical called bombazine, then if you take methadone, it will slow down the growth of your tumor. So methadone has some really interesting properties to it, but it is used in these clinics. And listen, if you're calling and you don't get through, try again, because what happens is we're using Skype and you only get to stay on hold for about 10 seconds. So, you know, it's just kind of luck of the draw, and I apologize if you get frustrated. If you get frustrated and you have a question you want to send to me, just email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com. But anyway, so the federal government will use methadone as a medication for maintenance because of two things. It's cheap, and the federal government's cheapskates, and it lasts a long time. You can dose somebody up once a day. So people usually are compelled to drive to the methadone clinic, take their methadone, and then drive home every single day. They don't give you like a month's supply. And you can indeed do this indefinitely, although my philosophy on this is if you're going to really get off drugs, get off of them. It's great that he's on maintenance because he's not out there, you know, doing crimes or whatever. I don't know what he was doing before, or having to raise increasing amounts of money. That's the other benefit with methadone is you can take one dose and pretty much take the same dose forever. You don't ever have to continually increase it like you do with morphine or, you know, heroin and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're going to get off, get off. And so at some point, you can ask the methadone clinic to put you on a weaning taper, and they will taper you off slowly. And okay. That's what I would recommend for him. Cool. So before I lose this phone call, let's grab it, see if it works. Hey, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, this is Double. How are you?
Oh, good, man. How are you?
Doing all right. GVAC told me to call you. I had a question.
Okay. This sounds good, man. Go. Shoot.
I was walking in the middle of the night and cracked my hip into a doorknob on a, you know, obviously a doorknob. It's usually closed. It was open. Went back to sleep. 3 hours later, I woke up and my whole leg was rock hard, and I felt every muscle ripping out of my leg. Since then, I developed bruising from my IT band all the way down to my ankle, and I have no idea what did it, and neither did the doctor I went to.
Okay. Did you go to an orthopedist, or did you just go to a family practitioner? I don't mean just in a pejorative sense, but I mean...
Right. No, it was a family practitioner.
Okay. Is the leg functional at this point?
It is, but for about 9 hours, I couldn't bend anything, and then I jumped into my vehicle to go to the doctor when it opened, and
okay,
I felt a muscle tear.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. The blood was pulled from the area of trauma down to your feet through the force of gravity. You know,
right.
Blood is subject to gravity just like everything else is, so that when you bled into a tissue plane that allowed that blood to travel down to your feet because it had nowhere else to go. Now, eventually what will happen is that that blood will organize itself and the body will resorb it. It'll turn from purple to kind of green to yellow and then eventually disappear and may actually leave behind a little deposit of calcium if there was a big hematoma up by your hip. And you may feel a little rocky place there because that's the one thing the body can't leach away is are the minerals in the bloodstream. I mean, in the clot. Obviously, you traumatized some blood vessel, whether it was a minor vein. It's hard to say. I wish P.A. John was here because he is the orthopedist and has the anatomy down. And this is my 1 week place. So,
anatomy is your 1 week.
Well, no, not orthopedics.
Okay. Thank you for clearing that up.
And it sounds to me like you got what the football guys call is a hip pointer, you know, where you actually hit your hard tissues under the soft tissue against something hard, and it causes extreme pain, compresses the nerves, compresses the fat tissue, and can cause some bleeding. But the good news is that if the limb is functional, not having any numbness or burning or any of those kind of symptoms, it'll go away, and eventually you'll be back good as new. It may take 6 to 12 weeks, though.
All right, that sounds about right. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Cool, man. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Whoops, let me catch this one. Hey, you're on Weird Medicine.
Yeah, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex.
My question is about Lyme disease.
Yeah.
I got it, and they put me on that medication.
Yeah.
Like,
which,
and did, I just, I don't like going to the doctor, so.
Okay. Which medication did they put you on? Were you on IV Rocephin for a long time, or were you on pills, or what was the story?
Well, I caught it pretty early, so I just they put me on, I think it was like doxycycline or something.
Okay. So you caught it still in the rash phase after the tick bite? Is that how it went down?
Yeah. And
okay. So
I don't know. It seems like a hypochondriac's nightmare. So I don't really.
Oh, dude, I totally understand. And the reason for it is number one, it's kind of mysterious, because it's one of these things. It's not unlike syphilis. It has a first stage, then it kind of goes away for a while and is called latent, and then it can come back with all these crazy different syndromes. And so in that regard, it's very similar to syphilis, which has a similar three-stage process that it goes through. And I'll just throw this out there for people who don't know, Lyme disease is seen in just about every state of the union now. Used to be just in the Northeast is where we worried about it, Massachusetts and Connecticut, places like that. But I think every state in the union has had at least a few cases of Lyme disease. It's caused by a bite by the deer tick, and it has to be in contact with your skin for about 24 hours, and will start with a rash that is very fine and kind of lacy red that will spread from the area where the tick first bit you in an ever-increasing ring. And then it'll eventually fade away. And if it's left untreated, what you can end up with are all kinds of weird joint ailments and neurologic ailments, stuff like that. So that's what he's worried about. So the thing I will reassure you about is that, number one, they can test you for ongoing Lyme disease. And if you've been tested and it's negative, your Lyme disease was cured with your original doxycycline. And if they killed it, it cannot go on to do the the late complications like the joint infections and or the joint inflammation and all that stuff. Dead Lyme bacteria can't cause further disease. So if it's keeping you up at night, I'd just go back and let them test you for Lyme disease again. And yeah, if your antibody is going down, then that pretty much confirms that you're not actively infected.
Right.
Are you having any other symptoms now, or are you just worried about it?
If I do have symptoms that I think might have something to do with Lyme disease, I try to ignore them because...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I work full-time. I mean, I don't know. I'm not on any, like, prescriptions or anything.
Yeah, you're a young, healthy guy, and you don't want to have to go to the doctor, and it's expensive, even if you have insurance. So I get that. It will help you sleep at night if you went back and just told him, I want to make sure that that we killed it all the first time. And it can be treated. Again, that's the other thing. And you can minimize the late complications of Lyme disease with antibiotics. So it's really easy to treat. We used to, when it first started, I was in Vermont when Lyme disease kind of hit the streets, and we would have people come to our office every day to get an IV infusion of this drug called Rocephin. And since then, they've come out with oral regimens that you can take. And I am not an expert at treating late Lyme disease, but I know that infectious disease guys all over the country do it. And if you're really worried about it, you could get your family physician to make you an appointment with an infectious disease specialist who could then test you and reassure you that you don't have Lyme disease. And then, because we all have weird symptoms, you happen to have something that you can pin it on, and everybody else just says, well, shit, this is just the way life is. And, now I've got a pain in my knee, and I've got this weird rash on my palms, and, I'm not ejaculating with the same force that I once did. All those things that we do all have that, right? And but you have something you can pin it on, which was you had Lyme disease at one point. But I will bet you that they cured it the first time.
All right, thanks a lot, Dr.
Okay, man, good luck. Listen, email me, and I can email you some information on it. Just send me an email to weirdmedicinexam@gmail.com. And I'll send you some information back, and we can kind of have a conversation about this. And I'm going to try to convince you to go in and get tested again, just to set your mind at ease.
All right.
Okay,
you,
buddy. I'll see you.
Well, you didn't say what he should do about his syphilis.
Oh. Now, Todd. All right. Let's see what else we got here.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Mike from Cleveland. I was wondering, do you have any kind of remedy that I can have, because my wife is a cunt.
Wow.
I love that Cleveland accent, though.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's Cleveland
that's
accent?
Cleveland for
okay.
sure.
Okay. Hey, you're on Weird Medicine.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, I'm a 46-year-old guy, has slight elevated blood pressure.
Okay.
And when I drink, I get a headache.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say, like, I could drink one beer and an hour later have a headache, or I could drink all day long and all night long and not have a problem, but then an hour after that, get a headache.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, every doctor I say just says stop drinking, but every once in a while I like to tie one on.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Do you ever check your blood pressure when you have the headache? Do you have a blood pressure cuff of your own?
No, I don't.
Okay. Because you're right. if you have really, really high blood pressure, it can cause symptoms like headache. I'm betting that it doesn't have anything to do with your blood pressure. But one way that you could set your mind at ease is to borrow buy a blood pressure cuff. It's not a bad thing to have at the house anyway. And when you are drinking and you have, and of course when you're drinking, it's not the greatest time to start trying to use some new piece of technological equipment. But if you would check your blood pressure and it's normal, it would at least set your mind at ease that the drinking isn't driving your blood pressure up. More likely, you're having some dilation of the blood vessels in the brain, which is not an uncommon consequence from alcohol. And do you ever get flushing or anything like that? Does your face turn red?
It might, but you know, I have to agree with you too that I don't really believe it's from the high blood pressure either, because this has been, I only was diagnosed with that about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
This has been going on for years. This is like 10, good 10 or 12 years that I can remember back that this has been going on. But like I said, I could drink all night long and not have a problem.
Yeah.
But after I stop, an hour later,
that's when it comes.
I get that crazy headache.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's double vasectomy, Todd. He is not a medical professional. So.
But the point is also I can have two beers and stop drinking and 2 hours later get that headache. And again, this is not all the time, but yeah. I would say it's generally most of the time.
Sure. You just are very unlucky in that you have a withdrawal syndrome that's pretty regular and bothers you. You know, a lot of people will have withdrawal syndrome from alcohol. I do. Where, you know, if I drink during the day and then come down, you know, I feel like shit the rest of the day, but I don't have a headache. You know, I just feel fatigued and my stomach bothers me a little bit and stuff like that. And basically what you're having is the onset, early onset of a hangover. It's just your withdrawal syndrome is more extreme than other people's. This may keep you from drinking too much. Maybe such a not a bad thing. And there is that old joke, you know, doc, it hurts when I do this, so quit doing that. You know, and that's what those doctors are telling you. You know, you're saying every time I drink, I get a headache. They're telling you, well, quit drinking. One thing that you could try, and I'm just going to throw this out there, but I want you to talk to your doctor about it, is you could try taking an ibuprofen before you drink.
Uh-huh.
There is some evidence out there that some of this may be inflammatory to a certain degree, or prostaglandin mediated. So don't worry about that. But that's what ibuprofen does, is it takes care of things that are prostaglandin mediated pains. And so you could take an ibuprofen before you drink, and as long as you're not drinking like crazy and have ulcers and stuff like that, it's relatively safe to do that. Don't confuse ibuprofen with Tylenol, though. It's not okay to drink alcohol and take Tylenol at the same time.
That was my next question. What is the difference between the acetaminophen and the ibuprofen?
It's chemically completely different.
Well, and apparently that, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could take either or, but apparently you just said don't take the Tylenol.
Right. Tylenol and alcohol has shown an increase in liver abnormalities, and so we don't recommend that. And it's weird because ibuprofen seems like a stronger drug, and it certainly seems more dangerous in the sense that ibuprofen can cause ulcers and things like that, but with alcohol, it seems to be a safer medication. And again, taken every once in a while, you know, I don't want you
taking
800 milligrams of ibuprofen every night because, you know, you're drinking every night and, you know,
absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
I don't even drink every night, but, you know, it's summertime and every once in a while up here on Long Island, we like to
absolutely. Well, listen, try that. You can take 400 to 600. Well, the over-the-counter dose of ibuprofen is 400 milligrams. So you could take 400 milligrams and drink next time. And then email me at weirdmedicinexam@gmail.com if it works. If it doesn't, I'll see if I can come up with some other ideas. And again, obviously doing all this stuff under the supervision of your doctor, not me. I'm just your pal with a medical degree. I'm not your doctor. You know what I'm saying?
Excellent.
Don't sue me,
in
other words.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, man. Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Okay,
bye-bye.
We'll see you.
Hey, dude, we got a question in the chat room about charcoal tablets.
Okay.
Would that help him? Some people take charcoal tablets, and I guess that's supposed to filter.
You know what? There's no downside to it other than the fact that charcoal tablets, if he's taking any other medication, can absorb some of those medications, and it's just like you never took it.
Okay.
So as long as he's not taking other medications that would be adversely affected by charcoal, got no problem with trying it.
Right. Would it screw up his taking the painkiller you were talking? Was it you said?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if ibuprofen is absorbed into activated charcoal or not. It probably is.
Okay.
So yeah, you wouldn't want to do both.
Gotcha.
Yeah, one or the other.
Now, so, are you looking at the chat right now?
No, I.
Okay.
I'm,
okay, there were some questions wondering.
Okay, shoot them. Shoot them.
This person just
talking to the microphone though.
Said they have a smoking related question, but they haven't put it up yet. So
okay, well, just tell they can call in. There's the lines are free right now if they want to call for
423-343-8884.
You got it.
Yeah,
that's it. 423-DIE-TUTI. It's our old weird medicine number.
Cigar versus cigarettes. That is the question.
Oh, okay. All right. Here's the thing. Both. Okay. It's a tough one. Cigarettes, bad. Cigars, bad. Not as bad.
Yeah.
You tend not to inhale cigars.
Mm-hmm.
But you do tend to keep them in your mouth and gum them and lick them and all that stuff. So there is still the risk of oral cancer. There's much less risk of lung cancer. I don't think anybody has sat down. I would have to look that up, and that's a great thing. I wish that person would call our regular number. Tell them, if you wouldn't mind, to call 347 Poohhead. Ask that as a question. I will do some research on it and see if there are studies out there looking at cigars versus cigarettes as far as oral cancer and stuff like that is concerned.
This person says they did that. So
they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they must have just done that.
Okay, awesome.
And yes,
awesome.
It is 347 Poohhead.
That's right. Very good. That's the we have another call. This is so unprofessional, but it's fun. Hey, you're on Weird Medicine.
Dr. Steve, this is John. How are you tonight?
What up, John?
Hey, man. I am 30 years old, and about 3 years ago, tried to have a kid, had troubles, and wound up finding out that I have really low testosterone.
Okay.
And so I've been supplementing with Androgel for about a year now.
Yes.
And so here recently, you know, my levels have gone back up to normal, but
still can't get
recently,
pregnant.
No, we've since had a kid, so that's all fine.
Okay, cool.
Here recently, the weird thing why I'm calling is I've been, every time I have a large poop, I come, and not just a little bit, but a lot.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And thank you.
Do you?
And my question is, you know, I've read that it has a lot to do with, like, enlarged prostates and this and that. But,
yes.
You know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, is there a connection to the androgel?
Yes. All right, let me ask you this question, then I can answer that. Are you actually coming in the sense that you're having an orgasm, or is there just prostatic fluid oozing out of your penis when you have a bowel movement?
I'm not screaming, you know, or anything like that, but... You know, it's a thick amount of semen.
But
it's not just a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's full on the chunky stuff.
Okay, but no pleasurable climax type experience. Okay. Exactly. What you're having is a thing called prostatic congestion, and that's where the prostate is enlarged enough that it is the backside of it is extruding or pushing itself into the front side of your rectum. So that, remember, the backside of the prostate is the front side of the rectum, and that's why we can stick our finger in there and feel around and feel the prostate when we do a prostate exam. So if your prostate is large enough and your stool is hard enough, then when you have a large bowel movement, it will press onto the backside of the prostate, compress it, and that fluid's got nowhere to go but out. You know, it's going to follow the path of least resistance, so it's going to come out the end of your penis. And urologists will do this when they do a prostate exam on some people. If they want prostatic fluid, you go in, you put your finger in, and you press down on the prostate and massage it side to side, and then fluid will come out. So it's the same principle. Now, is this related to your androgel? It may be, because increasing the testosterone will increase the growth of prostate tissue, and prostate tissue can then enlarge because of that. Now, it may have done it anyway, But it's testosterone is like fertilizer for prostate tissue. It makes it grow better, and which is one of the reasons why when people get prostate cancer, we will give them drugs to block testosterone. And it doesn't kill the cancer. It just makes it stop growing. And it's the same principle here, although I don't – yours is most likely not cancer. It's most likely just an overgrowth of the prostate itself. So the trick is you want to soften your stools because you've got a – crappy American diet like the rest of us probably, and increasing the fiber in your diet will decrease the pressure that's being put on the prostate, and also you need to get a prostate exam. And
you think so? That's at 30, you think that that's necessary?
Yeah, just because you're having this symptom, you've got your prostate could be chronically infected, and that's why it's enlarged. So they may do. If you were my patient, I would do a prostate exam, express some fluid, look at it under the microscope. If there's white blood cells in there, it's not the testosterone at all. You've just got a chronic infection. I'd put you on antibiotics and it would go away. Now, I know the defecatory splooging that you're having probably isn't causing you a lot of discomfort, but it is a sign of something that's not normal going on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do I think it's dire? No. But it's worth getting checked out. Okay?
Great.
Yeah, get it checked out, and let me know what the doctor says. Now, they may even want to send you to a urologist because a lot of family practitioners are not – they don't see this very often. I will guarantee you there's family docs out there that never heard of prostatic congestion, and they'll just go, automatically boot you to a urologist because that's what they do. You know, if they don't know what's going on, they'll send you to a specialist, which is an okay thing to do. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
All right, man. Email me, weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, after you get back and let me know, okay? Okay, buddy. I'll see you. Okay, what you got, Ashley?
Somebody wants to know if the chaser pill really works for reducing hangovers.
Can you search on that and find out what's in it? Because mm-hmm. I'm going to say no. Because if it really worked, we would all be using it.
Yeah.
The things that that have been shown to work are things like ibuprofen to decrease the inflammation and the pain from dilation of the vessels in the brain, mm-hmm. And from dehydration of the brain, hydrating yourself. So, you know, drinking a beer and then drinking some water and then drinking some beer, and not drinking to excess, obviously, you know, everything in moderation. But for those times when you do, definitely hydrating yourself before you go to bed. And my thing is reflux. I get horrible reflux. That's what kills me more than the hangover.
Really? My reflux doesn't happen when I drink.
If I lay down with a stomach full of beer, mm-hmm. if I lay down flat, I will reflux all night long.
Oh, man. Now, what I always do is just drink a Gatorade and take a couple of ibuprofen right before I hit, right when I'm done drinking. And, you know, sometimes it helps and sometimes I don't think it does.
But. Yeah. I would like for that call to also go to our regular line. 347 Pooh Head, and let me do some research on that and see. And I'll, if we can't find what's in the chasers right now, I will look it up and let you know if there's any studies whatsoever that say that they're worth anything. All right. We missed a couple of calls. If you're trying to call and can't get through, try again. Here we go. Because Skype is weird, you have about 10 seconds to answer the call. Someday, if this is successful enough, we'll actually, we'll get call screening software and get some phone lines in here.
Yeah, cool.
All right, hey, you're on Weird Medicine.
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you, man.
Hi, this is Mike. I'm calling, I'm looking to find out, I've been having some fatigue and whatnot, and I went to my regular physician, and she did a test. I had shingles recently, and I also travel quite a bit through time zones and whatever. But long story short, my liver enzymes are elevated for the second time, and I do drink quite a bit. And I'm wondering what you recommend the best way to get off the sauce.
Oh, to actually get off the sauce then, okay.
Yeah, because my question to you is, I need to do something. This is the second time they're elevated, and I want to find out if you recommend AA. Do you recommend a program? What do you recommend?
So you've tried to quit on your own and been unable to do that?
Small little things. My wife has helped me a little bit. She's helped me immensely, but I haven't been able to commit to it.
Okay.
And I'm kind of concerned about withdrawals.
Yeah, okay. Tell me again how much you're drinking every day.
It's quite a bit. It's vodka and generally like a 7-Up.
Okay.
I am tested where I work, so I have to be conscious of that.
Okay.
But I do binge drink.
Okay. So if you binge drink, that means that there are days when you don't drink at all. Is that right?
I'm sorry?
So if you're binge drinking, that means that there are days when you don't drink at all? Or is it just... gradations.
I don't know. I drink every night.
Okay.
And that's for sure. I do drink every night, but I put back quite a bit and in a short period of time.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I'm with you. If you're worried about withdrawal, have you ever, let me ask you one other question, then we can answer this. Have you ever had a withdrawal syndrome when you've tried to quit?
I don't know that I've given myself enough time to have that. I'm just paranoid of it.
Okay, I'm with you. I would definitely withdraw under a doctor's supervision. Okay, now there may, in our area, we've got like the guy, and it's we have a guy who is an addiction specialist, and that's what he does. He just helps people detoxify as an outpatient. Some people have to go in the hospital to detoxify. Most people, I don't even know if I want to say most people, but a lot of people can detoxify as an outpatient. And I would definitely do it under a doctor's supervision. There are certain medications that they can give you to help you not only avoid the cravings, but there are medications they can give you that would make you sick if you did drink, and that can be a nice deterrent for some people. And there's other medications that can help prevent the withdrawal syndrome, especially if you're paranoid about it. And they can get you up on those meds and back off of them within a couple of weeks. The problem with delirium tremens, which is the worst variety of DTs, is that, number one, they can be fatal. And so it is a real serious thing, and you're smart to be paranoid about it. And number two, it can be a late complication. You know, you quit drinking and you've been off of the sauce for a few days and you think you're out of the woods, and then the DTs kick in. So again, definitely withdrawing under a doctor's supervision, and preferably if you've got one in your area, an addiction specialist. Now, if you live in a city or a small town, there's usually going to be one or two around you. You just got to look them up.
If I can, I'm sorry to interject here.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
The doctor that I see, my mother actually works for, so I don't want to share with her everything.
Sure.
Even though there's the HIPAA laws and all that stuff.
But we understand how HIPAA is a law and it doesn't prevent behavior that, you know,
exactly.
All it does is punish bad behavior. It doesn't prevent it. So I understand that.
I live just outside of a big city in Michigan, let's leave it that way.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that we have enough hospitals around here, being universities or whatever, that I can find somewhere to find an addiction specialist.
And you just call, and they'll go under different names. Like around here, the guy, it's Recovery Associates, and they'll advertise, you know, outpatient alcohol detox, and they'll give you support. And here's the other thing: definitely agree with the meetings. You should, you know, go hit a meeting tonight. But you have to understand that AA last I checked, is not in favor of giving medication to help you withdraw. But I'm not an expert on that. There's a lot of things I'm not an expert about, and I've found tonight.
I've been listening to the show, and I did leave a message for you. You can disregard the message.
I
wanted to talk to you.
We'll definitely answer it on the XM show.
And that's where I hear you from, and I certainly appreciate you being on there, and I certainly appreciate your time, Doctor.
Cool, man. Well, listen, let me know how you're doing. Email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com. And if you send me your zip code, I can maybe help you look up somebody in your area, too. I'm perfectly happy to help out that way. I won't be able to vouch for them because I won't know them, but I can at least give you a few phone numbers to get started with.
Cool. great. Thank you so much,
man.
Dr. Steve.
All right, good luck with it, man.
Yeah,
thank
for sure.
You.
Good luck.
Hey, listen, it's cliched bullshit sounding, but you know the journey of 1,000 miles does begin with the first step, and he's beginning to take the first step. So I'm proud of him.
Great.
All
thank
right, man.
You.
Okay. Hey, we'll see you, man. I thought I'd already. I was talking about him in the third person. Didn't mean to do that. All right. Well, listen. Let me see if I can figure out how to play this music here. And this is very professional, isn't it?
You're not playing CB Alien now.
No, absolutely.
The guy's
not.
Trying not to drink.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, I had a ball.
That was enjoyable.
You got any? We got about 3 minutes. You got anything else from the chat room? You got a quickie?
There's one person who says, "I need help. I'm calling again." To all of you that are here, you're going to get the biggest laughs. I'm calling right now.
Oh shit! Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this may be something to hang on for.
Hmm. Well, I just lost a call too. Tell that person to call back.
Call
they've got,
back.
They've got 3 minutes. Okay. Here we go. Here we
you
go.
You just did.
All right, is this you?
Mark is this
hey,
name.
Hey.
Is that Mark?
What's on, Bagger?
Yep, this is the guy.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
Turn your radio all down, right, though. Seriously, I'm... There you go.
All right, so I need to quit smoking because otherwise I can't get hormone treatment. I'm a transsexual.
Okay.
And I won't get my hormone treatment unless I quit smoking.
How?
So my way of quitting smoking is going to cigars because I don't inhale them. I smoke less cigarettes. I went from a pack and a half a day to maybe 3 cigarettes a day.
Okay.
And I have maybe a cigar, maybe 2 a day at most.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah.
They're still going to test you for nicotine and you're still going to be positive. That's the problem. So it's a good start.
Because I'm absorbing it through my cheeks
yes,
and whatever.
Yes, because nicotine is pretty readily absorbed. That's why you can use nicotine gum, and you can use nicotine patches because nicotine is very readily transferred from the outside to the inside through mucous membranes and through the skin. So you'll still probably you will test positive for nicotine if they're testing you. So at some point, you'll have to completely go cold turkey from the nicotine. Now, how you do that is there's lots of options out there, but it usually involves some sort of tapering schedule where you tell yourself, I'm going to not, and I recommend not number of cigars, but the time that you can smoke, okay? So this is the way I quit. I used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, so I know from whence I speak. Because this never worked for me, I would say, I'm going to smoke 20 today and then 19 tomorrow and 18. And then when I'd get down to about 10, I'd go, well, maybe I could have 11 today and then maybe I can have 12. The next thing I know, I'd be smoking a whole pack again. This seemed to work better for me and it might work for you. So can I just get to it instead of burbling around? What's wrong with me? So you get up in the morning at 8 o'clock. And you normally would have a cigar. You say, I'm not going to smoke until 9. So today, I cannot smoke until 9 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow, I cannot smoke until 10. This will only take a couple of weeks to do this. And you keep pushing it. And then if you ever go, let's say, to 6 p.m., let's say that on Thursday you were allowed to go to 3, but you pushed it to 6, you can never go back. You can, then the next day your goal is going to be 7 p.m., not 4 p.m. You see what I'm saying? So, and every day you keep pushing it until the one day where your smoke time is after you've gone to bed. Okay, so there will come that time where I can smoke at midnight, but you go to bed at 11. Okay, so and now you're done, and you can never smoke again. That's your quit date, and it's a very natural kind of organic way to taper without this kind of numbers game that you have to play with, putting cigars in a bag, and this is all I can smoke today, the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you've got to get off the smokes. And you understand why they don't want you to smoke and take hormones, right?
Yes, blood clots and all that.
Exactly. And the risk is not it's not negligible. There's a real risk there. And how old are you?
Do I have to tell that?
No, you don't. I know you don't ask a lady that, so it's okay. You don't have to tell me that. But if you are over 35, it's okay. If you're over 35, your risk is increased. That's the only reason why I was going to ask that. So the older you are, the higher your risk is of blood clots and other things. And that's why they just want to be safe. They don't want to do this for you and then have some catastrophic complication happen. So, and you need to quit smoking anyway. It's unattractive. It is. I mean, you know, there's nothing worse.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know how bad I must have stunk smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day back in the day, you know. So, and there was ashtrays all over my house, and all over my house stunk, my clothes stunk. And now, and you'll appreciate this, Mark, when you finally quit. If someone comes into my office and they have and hand me a magazine and they smoke, I can smell the smoke on the magazine. Mm-hmm. That's how it infuses everything.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Ashley's working on this too, the whole quitting thing. But listen, good luck with it. And if I can ever help you, just email me and I'll give you some. I can give you moral support if nothing else.
Thank you, Dr. Steve.
All right, my friend. You okay? Are we good?
I'm fine. Yeah, it's, and I'm actually probably doing a little bit better than what you expect with the cigars and whatever.
Yeah.
It's like I've gone from a pack and a half a day to maybe 2 or 3 cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
And just holding the cigar is enough for me to not light it up and whatever.
Okay,
so
now
I think I'm doing fine, but I know that I am absorbing the nicotine through my cheeks and whatever.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're not lighting the cigar now, just holding it in your hand, you won't absorb nicotine that way, not to an appreciable amount that can be measured. But if you're lighting it up and smoking it and not inhaling, you're getting enough to give you a positive test. So I guess the take-home message from this that's most important for you is you're doing great, and I'm proud of you for making the advances that you have. You can't get off the cigarettes and smoke cigars and hope to finish your process, because they're gonna ding you the minute they do a urine test for nicotine and it's gonna be positive. So at some point you got to get completely off of it.
I'm going to try.
Okay, now you're gonna succeed. I know you are. You've come this far. I know you can do that. You don't need me to tell you that there's a lot of reasons to quit. And a lot of benefit that you'll get from it beyond just being able to complete your process, you know. And it's just a good thing. And I've got the experience. I loved to smoke. I didn't like it. I loved it, and it made me.
That's where I am.
It made me very sad to give it up. But now that I've got the benefit of 15 years. Of sobriety on my side, it was the greatest thing I ever did, and it will be for you too.
Thank you.
Okay. He just doesn't sound happy about this.
No, you weren't either.
I'm sorry.
I am happy. It's just...
I know.
I'm glad to hear, because, okay, I'm in Canada, and a lot of the doctors I go to don't even actually realize what the hell I'm going through. Like, I have to describe to them what gender dysphoria is and all this shit.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, that's the same in the United States, too.
Thank you for knowing.
Cool, man.
Thank you for knowing. And I love you. And I love it when Jimmy makes fun of you.
I do, too.
The first place of you.
That son of a bitch.
Awesome.
We love you, too. And,
and
email us.
One thing I have to add, I agree with you about Dr. Kaku.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not so much on his case anymore, but he still seems kind of hacky to me, and I just don't like the fairy tale stuff. You know who I really like? I'm just going to throw this out here. Rather than trashing Kaku, who I know, listen, that guy got beat up in school. He was a geek. He's very uncomfortable with himself. Now that I know a little bit more about him, I feel bad about bad-mouthing him on ONA, although there was some humor there. But the guy I really like, rather than being negative about Kaku, I'm going to be positive about Brian Cox. Are you familiar with him at all? He's a British guy.
Just a little bit, not enough to comment.
Yeah, he's a British guy, young guy, that is a popularizer of science. He does Mysteries of the Universe and Mysteries of the Solar System on Discovery Science. I love this guy. And he and Neil deGrasse Tyson are the guys that I really, you know, like as far as not talking down to people, but making science interesting for everybody and just showing that wonder of the universe. That's what Sagan had. You know, he was just like completely blown away by the universe, but was so articulate about it, but could speak about science without talking down to his audience. And that's the problem I've always had with Kaku.
Well,
who's that?
What about Hawking?
Oh, yeah. Hawking, the only issue with him is if you want to ask him a question, you got to wait 2 hours for the answer. But yeah, Hawking's great, you know. And, you know, he's had an opportunity to change that voice of his because voice synthesizers have gotten way better now. And he doesn't want to do it, but he says, this is my voice. You know, this is my voice.
Well, he's recognizable.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
And so...
Hey, one thing, check out Symphony of Science. I think it's symphonyofscience.com. And there's a Carl Sagan.
I've got him all down.
Isn't that awesome? But I love it when they do the Hawking one. And it's Sagan and Hawking.
The Carl Sagan one is amazing.
It is. And then you hear Hawking come out with that voice, and you immediately know it's him. It's so recognizable. It's just as recognizable as anybody else's voice out there. And it gives me chills when I hear that one.
Yeah.
All right. Email me. Let me know how it's going.
Dr. Steve?
Yes.
Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, and good luck.
It was a pleasure. And I love you.
Okay, we love you too. And let us know how it's going, okay?
I'll try.
Check in with us. Okay, I'll see you. All right. Now, did Mark not say in the chat room that everybody was going to get a big laugh out of that? No, we're not going to laugh at him.
I think he thought we would make fun of him.
He must be used to doctors that, I don't know. Anyway, Mark, he's awesome. And good luck to him. And he's got to quit smoking, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're done. I want to thank Double Vasectomy Todd and Ashley. And P.A. John is not here.
Thank him for that.
Thank him for that. Chest Pain Rob is never here anymore. I keep mentioning him, but he hasn't shown up in months. And we do have these weird medicine shot glasses. You can check them out at cafepress.com. We're going to give some away, but I got to figure out a way to do it. It'll probably be on the XM show. Thank everybody for calling. And thanks to Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez for support of this show. And until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. And we'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Oh, and check our podcast feed, too. Go to drsteve.com, click podcast, and sign up for our feed. If we get enough people, we can get some advertisers. All right, we'll see you guys. Comfortably numb.